The Hour, I'm Pete Shagnon. Congressional Democrats have sent a proposed auto bailout package to the White House. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
The plan calls for the government to provide the auto industry with loans totaling about $15 billion. That'll enable the big three car makers to make it through the next couple of months. But Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says there are strings.
If the companies fail to develop a plan that will lead to long-term competitiveness and profitability, if they fail to stick to that plan, loan can be recalled.
In addition, someone chosen by the president will oversee the industry and can order an overhaul if the Big Three's own restructuring plans fall short. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
A stock market gaining in confidence has shot higher for a second straight session as investors bet that President-elect Barack Obama's plans to increase infrastructure spending will lift the economy back to health. The major market indexes have advanced more than 3%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 298 points at 8,934, giving it a 558-point advance over two sessions. A former Muslim terrorist who became a Christian says he does not think Israel can launch a preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear facilities without the assistance of the United States. AFN's Chad Groening has more.
Recently, the Jerusalem Post reported that Israel is drawing up plans to attack Iran's nuclear facilities and is prepared to launch a strike without backing from the U.S. Officials in the Israeli Defense Ministry told the paper that while they prefer to act in consultation with the U.S., they are preparing plans that would allow them to act alone. Walid Shuibat is a former member of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, who is now trying to convince America that it must have the will to defeat global jihadists. He is skeptical that Israel will attack Iran under the current leadership of Prime Minister Ehud Olmert.
Under Olmert, it is very unlikely, almost impossible. Under Netanyahu, it is possible. Nobody knows. We don't know the future. However, let's see what happens in these elections and all these things that Israel is going through right now. They don't have now a leadership that has the gumption to do the job that they did in Osirik when Israel bombed the nuclear reactor of Iraq.
And Shuibat says the Israelis need the support of the U.S.
Without the assistance and the aid of America, I don't think so. They need the approval of the United States. With the Osirik, they did it without the approval of the United States. However, under the rug, it was semi-approved of. Now, without the United States collaborating with Israel, I don't think this will happen.
Unfortunately, Shuibat believes Iran will eventually get nuclear weapons, and the world will be a much more dangerous place. I'm Chad Groening.
Online evangelist Bill Keller is calling for a national day of prayer and fasting, according to this report from AFN's Charlie Butts.
In a daily devotional sent to 2.4 million subscribers, Keller pointed to a severe economic downturn.
God could very easily use the economy as a form of his judgment on this nation for our sins and rebellion. And then lo and behold, September, everything started to really fall to pieces economically.
Government action is not the only solution to economic woes.
They're trying to fix a economic problem with money when in fact it's a spiritual problem that can only be fixed with prayer and repentance.
LivePrayer.com is conducting an online petition drive calling on President Bush to declare December 18th a national day of prayer and fasting for the economy.
We're up to about 120-some thousand signatures. We've got a petition on our homepage for people to sign.
Keller will be in Washington next Monday to personally deliver the petition. I'm Charlie Butts.
Three alleged 9/11 plotters who say they want to make confessions at their war crimes trial have postponed entering pleas until the military determines their co-defendants are mentally competent. A military judge prevented two of the defendants from entering pleas over concerns about their mental fitness. The alleged mastermind of the attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, says he is ready to confess but will wait until all five can respond in unison. And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnon.
Record budget deficits.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
We'll be right back.
good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known in the King James Version as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today we're going to pick back up in our study. We're in the book of Jeremiah, around chapter 44 and verse 1. That's where we'll pick up. I'm going to jump right in here. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol, and at Tahpanhes, and at Noph, and the country of Pathros, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. Because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, or your fathers. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, O, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and my anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate, as at this day. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah, the God of hosts, the God of Israel. Wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that you provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither you be gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off, and that you might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives which they have committed in the land of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. When I read these words in Jeremiah, it's like I'm reading about America. You know, here we have Jeremiah's time, and we've all heard the saying, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And truly, from Jeremiah's account here, truly did begin in his own house. He judged Jerusalem and Judah first, and then he went to the other nations. And specifically here, he's addressing his people who fled to those other nations and continued to practice the same abominations there. They had the word, they heard the word, and yet they continued to do evil. In America, we have the word. We have churches where people open up the word of God and they read it. They have it on their shelf. Perhaps it's now a coaster on their coffee table, and they never consider it. But they listen to their pastors instead, who tell them that the law of God is dead, that it was nailed to the cross, so we don't have to pay attention to that. And they scorn anyone who reverences or holds up the word of God and his law by any means, and they call them legalists. So the people continue to practice their evil, and they bring idolatry into their congregations. They allow the pollutions of idolatry and idol worship into their churches, into their buildings, into their assemblies, and they practice those things. They take those practices home. When someone questions them, then their pastors, their blind guides, will stand up before them and say, oh, these things are okay. yes, you can do all of these things. And then they teach it even to the heathen. And the heathen start practicing it. Don't the heathen practice Christmas more than anyone else? And then you have all the misguided so-called Christians out there that are making bumper stickers and things like, it's okay to say Merry Christmas, in their ignorance. The scripture says, study to show yourselves approved. And to say something like, it's okay to say Merry Christmas, and to do it with some type of self-righteous indignation, as if you're holy because you're holding up some standard that has been taught to you by your corporate church, it's okay to say Merry Christ's death. Because if you did your research, you would know that Christmas means Christ's death. And then you would know that where that came from. Where does the Mass? Who celebrates the death? Who celebrates the death? And then they call it, it's one thing, it is Christmas, Christ's death. But to tell you that they're celebrating his birth, when all they've done is in their stew pot, in their witchcraft, they've, in the cauldron of their witchcraft, they've worked up a potion of words. Yes, they've cast a spell with words. And they said, oh, it's Jesus' birthday. Where if you study to show yourself approved, you would know that it is not his birthday. You would know that it is ancient pagan ritual. The death of the S-U-N. And after 3 days, the S-U-N rises again. And it happens every year at the winter solstice. And of course, that great whore that calls herself a church, which is really a cult, the largest cult on the earth, because they are pagans and they do practice pagan idolatry. And most of your pagans, they'll refer to Jesus and say that they believe in him and he was a great teacher. At the same time, they ignore every word he said. Call no man father? There's one mediator between man and God? Yeah? Right. Honor the Sabbath? Oh no, we got to change that too. Don't allow the pollutions of idols into the church. We have that from Paul. Yes, the Apostle Paul said that. All of those things are being practiced. Study to show yourself approved. No, we're not to celebrate his death. Yes, I'm glad he died for me. But I'm going to celebrate the new life that he died to give me. We're not going to perform his death over and over with their doctrine of transubstantiation. And when you take part in any Mass, whether it be Christ Mass or any other Mass, you're taking part in that ritual. And all they've done is mixed into the cauldron of their spell all of this pagan idolatry and Mithra and Tammuz and what's the other one? Horus. And all of this sun god worship. And I'm speaking of S-U-N, the S-U-N God, not the only begotten Son of God. That's what they practice. Well, Paul tells us to remove all the pollutions of idols from our midst. And yes, we need to remove them all, but we need to understand first. So we need to stop listening to the blind leaders of the blind, and we need to let them know. Because most of them are just tickling at your ears. Most of them will not tell you the truth, even if they know it, because they don't want to lose your contribution. They don't want to lose your tithe. Where will these hirelings get the money to pay their salaries? Where will the hirelings get their money to pay their medical plans and their pension plans so that they can retire when they get old without your tax-deductible donation? They don't want to offend you. So they'll tell you, and they'll tell you things that'll tickle your itching ears. Yes, it's okay. You don't have to give up your Ashtaroth Easter. You don't have to give up your Christ Mass, Christ Death every year. All of the things that you were taught when you were young. Yes, they bribed you when you were a child. They bribed you with gifts and candy into their pagan idolatry. And now that you're adult and you enjoyed that so much, because what child doesn't enjoy gifts and candy? But it's a bribe. And now you're going to bribe your own children. Instead of waking up and going, wow, look what they have done. This is the truth. And then you have them out there that, I've got videos here and of pastors and organizations that have put these things together, these same ones that are printing bumper stickers that say, it's all right to say Merry Christmas. It's all right. Well, it's not all right. It may be all right for the world. It may be all right for the pagan idolaters to say it. But it's not all right for His holy nation to take part in the pollutions of idols. And that's what was going on in Jerusalem. These people, they thought, we're okay. Our pastors are telling us we're okay. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with this. Certainly, we can give candy and gifts to our children on these pagan holy days. Certainly, it's all right. That's what Jeremiah is talking about here. That's what's going on. And worse things, of course, and worse things are going on here. Because when you leave the truth and fall into idolatry, it's an indication that you're wicked and you're enjoying your adulteries and your sinful ways, because you're not regarding the law of our Heavenly Father. You don't care what pleases Him. If His law says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, well, we're free from the law, aren't we? And if his calendar says to keep the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, and you go, well, we don't have to do that, we're free from that. Let's keep Merry Christmas, Merry Christ's death, and Ashtaroth instead. That will please the Lord, will it not? That we ignore His commandments and His statutes and His holy days, but we're going to keep pagan holidays instead. Why? Because the law was nailed to the cross, and we don't have that heavy burden anymore of celebrating according to His commandments and His statutes. Yes, for us to go out and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, for us as a holy nation to separate ourselves once a year and have a camping trip where we just praise Him all day long in the Feast of Tabernacles. What a heavy burden. What a terrible heavy burden. I am so glad that the law was nailed to the cross, and we don't have to pay any attention to His statutes and judgment anymore. Aren't you glad, people? Aren't you glad that we don't have to do that anymore? But let's go buy gifts for everyone, yes? And, oh, got to make sure the economy is good. We don't want another Red Friday, do we? We got to have Black Friday. Yes, black ink. That's what Black Friday means every year. Everyone knows when Black Friday is, don't they? The biggest holy Christmas shopping day of the year. That's right. Because it's referring to black ink on a balance ledger. It's all about money. They don't want red ink, because that means that they're losing money. Yes, that's what your pagan holy day is all about. Money. You think that pleases our Heavenly Father? You think somehow that pleases Him more? That you bring in trees and deck them and decorate them? And then everybody practices these rituals, and all the children are excited about all the gifts that they got and all the good deals from Black Friday, and they forget all about our Heavenly Father. Yes, for the world, I guess, for all the pagans out there who hate God, that are not part of His holy nation, perhaps that is really something for them to be so selfless as to buy stuff for other people other than themselves. But let's not kid ourselves. Let's not call it His birthday. Otherwise, we would be giving Him gifts. And He never asks us to give Him gifts on His birthday, on somebody else's birthday, because it's not His birthday. Wouldn't it be better if we said, Heavenly Father, I love you. I want to do what pleases you. So I'm going to look into your word. I'm going to look into your statutes. I'm going to look into your law and see what your instructions for my life are. And those are the things I'm going to do because I love you. Wouldn't that be better? But like the children of Israel, like Judah, and those that lived in Jerusalem, and then those that were scattered to the nations round about in Jeremiah's time, I'm afraid the American church is no different. No different at all. They worship idols, and they love the pollutions of idols, and they bribe their children with gifts and candy to take part in these pagan rituals every year. At the same time, they proclaim their liberty from His law and His statutes and His judgments. Heavenly Father, recorded here, speaks through Jeremiah the prophet to the people that dwell in the land of Egypt. Verse 13 of chapter 44. As I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none shall remain of Judah, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return to the land of Judah, to which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yahuwah, we will not hearken unto thee. You know what? Been preaching this message, have preached to other people, and some just plainly say, no, you know what? You're wrong. We want to continue practicing. We want to continue with the pollution of idols. We will not hearken. After all, our pastor said that it's okay. And then they give me a video or some document proclaiming how it's okay to practice these things. How some pastor has justified it, therefore it's okay. But they didn't give me the Word of God. Or they give me some cut and paste thing, where they cut certain scriptures out of the word and then they mix it with their words and somehow justify it that way. I'm sure the same thing was happening. They heard the word of Jeremiah teaching them, telling them to walk away from their idols, to walk away from their idolatry, and then they communed among themselves or they listened to the leaders. They said, well, this is the way we've always done things. Do you want to deprive your children of candy and gifts and the joyous celebration every year that we have? Worshipping these idols and practicing this idolatry? And he said, no, Jeremiah, we're not going to do what you say. You're wrong, Jeremiah. Then they answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yahuwah, the Lord, in your King James Version, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then we had plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. Right, America? You don't want to change a thing. You don't want to change the prosperity that you have now, that you've enjoyed over the last 100 years of your idolatry. You're afraid to lose that, aren't you? Isn't that why you kill your children in the womb? You're afraid of the burden that they'll lay on you, that you might lose some of the enjoyment of your life for that burden? So you sacrifice your children to idols? Verse 20, Then Jeremiah said to all the people, to all the men, and to the women, and all the people which had given him that answer, saying, The incense that you burned in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and all the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind so that Yahuwah could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day. Because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of Yahuwah, nor walked in His law, nor in His statutes, nor in His testimonies, therefore this evil is happened unto you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said to the people and to all the women, hear the word of Yahuwah, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives both have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. We will surely accomplish your vows. You will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. You're listening Across the Border. We're going through the book of Jeremiah. My website is crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you. We'll be back after these messages.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. We're going through Jeremiah. We're in chapter 44, and we left off, about verse 26. Therefore, yes, he said, you shall surely perform your vows to the Queen of Heaven. That's the word of the Heavenly Father to these wicked people who refused to hear the words of the prophet and leave off their idolatry, to leave off the pollutions of idols, and rather enter into his law, his statutes, his judgments. And so many of the things that were happening in Judah were like the things that are now happening in the corporate Christian church out there, in mainstream Christianity, in the practicing of idolatry and to allowing the pollutions of idols into the congregations of the authorized state church of that day. So it is the same today. There isn't much difference. So their condemnation is yes, you will. You made your vows to the Queen of Heaven, and you shall surely perform your vows. Because the vow of idolatry is the wages of sin, and it is death. So in verse 26, Jeremiah continues, "Therefore hear ye the word of Yahuwah, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith Yahuwah, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, Yahuwah, Elohim liveth." And here, right here, the loss of the name specifically, there's no other way to read this. The loss of the name of the Creator is a curse. Should I read that again for you, those of you who didn't get it? "Therefore hear ye the word of Yahuwah." I'm going to read it with the correct phonetically Hebrew pronounced name where it says the Lord in your authorized King James Version. "Therefore hear ye the word of Yahuwah." And you know what? Perhaps, and I've thought about this often, perhaps that's why he allowed his name to be obliterated to fulfill this curse. "Therefore hear ye the word of Yahuwah, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name." Now I've discussed this many times. There's a whole lot here. The Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. What a phrase. Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Who is Judah today? Who is Judah? Who are the Yahudim? Because Judah is Yahudah. Who are his people that dwell in Egypt today or wherever they are scattered among the nations? Are they the posterity of the disobedient from the time of the Messiah? Or would they be the posterity of the obedient who fled when he told them to flee? Who would no longer be called Jews? Who would no longer practice the religion of Judaism? But what would they practice? Well, they would practice the religion of the Messiah. Would they not? I mean, the obedient? Wouldn't his people that were obedient to him, who followed the Messiah, would they continue then to practice Judaism and slaughter animals and all of that? Would they have continued in disobedience? So who truly is Judah in the midst of Egypt today? I'm just trying to draw a parallel between so-called Christians, and most Christians are, unfortunately, are born Christians today, and I'm talking about born in the flesh. My mother and my father were Christians, therefore I am. Well, I went to a Christian church from the time I was a child, but in the church, what did they preach? The law is dead. And that you can pray, you know, they don't teach you the Word of God. They don't preach you to you the whole Word of God. They select passages. Why, there is some of the law that they do like in the Catholic churches and in all the Protestant daughters of the Catholic Church. But they do like the law of tithing because, well, that brings your money into their 501c3 tax deductible. It brings your tax-deductible gift into their corporation. And boy, they do like that money because, like I said, these hirelings, they do like their paychecks every week, and they do like their pensions, and they like their medical plans, and perhaps they even collect unemployment if they lose their job. I'll bet you they do. I don't know about that, but perhaps they do. Isn't that how it works? When you're in bed with the state, you get all the benefits. Otherwise, why would you get in bed with them if there were no financial reward? Wasn't a financial reward for it? But he says, "I'm going to make you pay. You're going to pay your vows. I have sworn by my great name." And if he says here in this verse 26, "My great name," is he referring to the title "The Lord"? As we have it? No, he's specifically referring to his own name, his great name, Yahuwah. And he was talking to the people that were called by his name, the Yahudi or Yahudim, you know, of the land of Yahudah. He says, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, Yahuwah liveth. He was going to wipe out his name from the people of Judah in the land of Egypt. Sounds like a curse to me that they would name him no more. Why? Because he doesn't want idolaters, pagan worshipers calling on his name, calling and using his name and blaspheming his name. What does it mean to take the name of the Lord in vain? Well, a lot of people would say it's like saying something like Jesus Christ out of season, or saying God damn, things like that. But I don't hear his name in those. But I'll tell you what, if it is taking his name in vain to you, then it is a sin. But I'm going to tell you what taking his name in vain is. That's what he was talking against here. He says, I'm going to take my name away from you. You're not going to speak my great name anymore. And he wasn't talking about the Lord. And he wasn't talking about the name Jesus, because at that time the name Jesus did not even exist. That was contrived about 300 or 400 years ago. And before that, the name Jesus was never even known. That's a rather modern, new name. No, that's not what he's talking about when he was talking about saying his name in vain. I can draw you some illustrations of what it truly means to take his name in vain. I was perusing, I guess, some videos on YouTube, and I came across one that said, it was called Hallelujah Rock and Roll, or something like that. And I thought, well, maybe someone's praising the name of Yah in video here. And I went to it, and they weren't praising his name, but they were using his name, because every time you say Hallelujah, you're saying his name. In every language, in every tongue, it's the same. Every one of them says Hallelujah. Of course, we know it comes from the Hebrew to praise his holy name. And using that form of his name, Yah, which is a shortened form of a name, like some people call me Nick, even though my name's Nicholas, I really prefer my full name, Nicholas. But the Heavenly Father has seen it appropriate for people to just call him Yah as a shortened form of his name. I see it throughout the Scripture. But more than not, I see Yahuwah, the full name, 3068 near Strong's, where it's translated the Lord more than 6,000 times in the Authorized King James Version. But when he refers here in this verse to his great name, I don't think he's referring to a title of nobility that has replaced his name. But he says, behold, I have sworn by my great name, verse 26, saith, and there he uses his name, Yahuwah, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, Yahuwah, God liveth. And there in the Hebrew would be Elohim. Let's see, what does that really say? No more saying, oh, okay, that's what it's saying here. It says, Adonai Yahuwah liveth. They even reversed it here in the King James, because usually the Lord is the 3068, but here the Lord is Adonai, which is, I guess, a comparable term in the Hebrew to the Lord. And then it's followed by capital, all caps, G-O-D, which is using 3069 rather than 3068, which is a derivation of his name. It's Yahuwah. Interesting. The study in the name is interesting. But here he says they're no longer going to say, the Lord Yahuwah liveth. No more is it going to be heard. So he's going to turn them completely over to their idolatry. Isn't that what's happened here in America? Now, I've read some historical documents, and I've heard from some researchers that in early America, in the churches, you know, I'm speaking 16, 1700s, and early 18, well, or 16, 1700s, early 1800s, that the pilgrims and those that had escaped from religious persecution in Europe, they came over here and they established some of the colonies, that they would not practice Christmas or Easter. That's right. Because they read the Word of God. You know, and all they had was an old 1611 King James Version. You know, they didn't have the authorized King James Version. They only had the original. They didn't have the Strong's Concordance. But they understood that this was pagan idolatry that came out of the horror of Rome. They understood that, and they wouldn't practice it. But look what has happened. That America, with such promising beginnings, has fallen into the same idolatry over the whatever hundreds of years it has been. Just like Judah, over the period of time, the pollutions of idols have crept in. The pollutions of idols had crept in so that even when they were escaping the punishment for their idolatry, fleeing to the other nations round about Jerusalem, they took their idolatry with them. Well, they fit right in. You know, if we flee America, if we have to flee America and, say, go to Canada or Mexico, well, we'll be right at home. That's right, because they're practicing the same idolatry worldwide in all of the pagan nations. The parallels of Jeremiah's time and the time that I live in now are so close that it makes me fear for America. They were sacrificing their children to idols. Adultery was everywhere. They would not repent, but they just emboldened themselves and they taught the pagans their ways. Yes, they've Christianized the pagans. That's why they're out there going, you know, that's why all the pagans are out there practicing Christmas and Ashtaroth. Why? Because the Christians said it's okay. That's right. Yes, were you not bribed as a child, like I was, into practicing Ashtaroth? Didn't they give you baskets of candy to take part in their pagan idolatry? And Christmas time with the gifts and the trees, you all gather around, and I'll tell you what, for 99.9% of America, it is not about baby Jesus being born. Although that makes a lot of them feel good. They don't know him. They're going to have a rude awakening on that day, the second resurrection, when they're judged for the works of their flesh. And they stand before him, and they go, "Why, I went to church every Christmas, and on Easter too. I thought I was okay. I'm a good man, you know." He's gonna say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Just like Jeremiah's time, just like Judah. Well, he's calling his people out. I don't believe there's any hope for America as a nation. I don't see it. The pagans, it's totally overrun with idolatry, with unbelievers, and now they're embracing their idolatry and their paganness, and now you've got the holdouts of the modern, corporate Christianity on the one side going, "It's okay to say Merry Christmas." Well, you got the pagan atheists on the other side trying to wipe out Christmas, a pagan holiday. So you got a total false dichotomy going there, a total false fight between the so-called right and the so-called left. And who's in the middle? I mean, you know, I have no part of that. I email these people, "Don't you know that this is pagan? Don't you know that Christmas is not Christian? That it has nothing to do with biblical Christianity." Now, but they continue. They continue. They will not be convinced. They will not even consider the Word of God. They don't want to deprive their children of candy and baskets and Easter bunnies and rabbits and eggs and gifts around a tree that's decorated. They don't want to do it. "Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith Yahuwah, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, Adonai, the Lord, Yahuwah liveth." I could say that in another way. "Therefore hear ye the word of the God of Israel, all of his people that dwell in the land of America. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith Yahuwah, that my name shall not be named in your congregations, in the mouth of any man that calls himself a Christian in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah or America, saying, Yahuwah liveth. Are they saying Yahuwah? Are they calling him by name and saying that he lives in their congregations? Absolutely not. To me, this is a sign that the curse is on them. Behold, verse 27, behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword, by the famine, until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt unto the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith Yahuwah, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophrah, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy that sought his life. So it began in the house of the Lord, Yahuwah. It began in his own house with his people, Judah, and now it pursues them that fled in all of the nations about. Chapter 45 of the book of Jeremiah, in verse 1. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto Barak the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus saith Yahuwah, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thou shalt say unto him, Yahuwah saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, for, behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life I will give unto thee for a prey in all the places whither thou goest. That's a mighty short chapter there. Chapter 46 and verse 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles. And of course the word Gentiles is referring to the other nations, the foreign nations, the other nations round about Israel, round about Judah at that time. So the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah called himself a prophet to the nations. And of course that judgment that was coming at that time began in the house of Judah and in Israel, and then pursued his people in those nations, and also to punish those wicked nations for the sins of their people. Because truly, is he not the God of all people? Did he not create them all? Are they not all his, all of the nations? So, the prophet prophesies against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh, Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates at Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Order ye the buckler and shield, and draw near to battle. Harness the horses, and get up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets. Furbish your spears, and put on the brigandines. And brigandines is like armor, or coat of mail. A coat of mails, brigandines. If you wondered what that was. So put on the brigandines. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back, and their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace, and look not back for fear was around about, saith Yahuwah. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty men escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up, and I will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Well, we've come to the end of the hour, but we will be back in a short while. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website. Take advantage of the resources there. I'll be back after these messages.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none.